Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this AC?
He owe you any money?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, man.
Let me see if we have an operator. I'm not sure if people are on the line or not.
I was just getting ready to send you an email and say, hey, it's not working. I don't have anybody.
Yeah, I was in the. I'm not sure if we have people muted. Let me try something. Hello, is anyone out there?
Yes, I'm
Yeah, I
here.
just dialed in.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm here.
okay,
I'm
I just
here.
unmuted everyone. All right, this is Jeff Lindahl, and I have AC.
Anybody hear me?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Where are you calling in from?
Connecticut, Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, Connecticut? Oh.
Yeah.
Do you go to the Connecticut RIA?
Oh, I just went to the. Is this Dave?
No, this is Jeff. I'm the
Oh,
better half.
I went to a short one night. Not, I think it was a week ago that Dave was in Meriden.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Awesome. You
I
have to come
went.
out to Boston and visit the office.
Pardon me?
You'll have to come to Boston and visit our office up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boston. Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, you definitely have to come up here for flipping the house boot camp that we're having in Boston. It's June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Because at that event is going to be Dave, our special guest today, AC Johnson, who is part of our staff here. He's out there. He's been wholesaling deals, flipping them, fixing them for years. And like this guy is one of the smartest guys that I know.
Oh, that's heavy. Boy,
Yeah.
can I get a raise? Hey, guys, for all of you that are out there, I hope that you'll stay tuned with us. Jeff, you going to go ahead and mute it?
Okay.
Good. Okay, so right now my name's AC Johnson, and I am one of Dave's consultants, mentors, phone coach, somebody who is also working the business day in and day out. I have been active in real estate since before many of you were born. I bought my first property while I was a deputy sheriff, graduated from the academy in '85 after graduating from NC State. And I want to say by '88, I was making more money off duty than I was on duty, and my CPA told me you need to buy a property. So that's literally when I started. But you know, good credit, fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage on a rental property, 5 to 10% down. The rest is kind of history. I've been doing it active ever since then. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful in doing real estate. I just have never given up at it. I don't walk on water by any means. I don't know it all, but I have 25 years of experience in the single family to small multifamily units. I've done about anything that you all will come up with today when we talk about single family to and flipping houses. I've used hard money. I've been a hard money lender. I've used private money. I've been a private money lender. I've rehabbed. I've lease optioned. Anything that I can get under contract where I'm a principal in it, I've been able to sell the rights to that contract to another investor, usually, and let them close. Sometimes been a homeowner. I want to be a homeowner who has cash. And because I had the property at a deep enough discount, they were willing to purchase all cash. So my role today is to say, hey, I do apologize because Dave is not on the call with you this week, or you know, this day, but I am. And I heard Jeff say he's the better looking of the half between he and Dave, and then there's me. 6 foot 3, 265 pounds of pure stud. A good looking man. Just ask me, I'll tell you. I left the department in 1999 to do this business full time. I started, I made more money in 1998, or it may have been 1999. No, you can have Claude come on in, but close my door when he comes in because I'm doing a national conference call. Excuse me, I do have a real estate business also. So I left the department in 99 to do this business full time, and that's what I've been doing since 99 to include. I've probably taught about, I've had the fortune of being allowed to stand up in a room like I'm going to be doing for Dave here in a few weeks, and had the owners of companies to trust me enough to teach you. And that's a great privilege. You know, I told Dave when he first asked me if I'd be willing to do it, you know, I didn't want to do apartments. Even though I understand them, I don't do them. So I'd rather just stick with what I do, because we don't want to provide you with anyone that's going to tell you they do something that they don't, and I don't roll that way. So Jeff asked me to cover a few things, make a list, AC, of those things that your students in the past, by the way, I've taught probably, I know I've been vetted at 20,000, having taught over 20, and since that vetting in 2004, 2006, I now say, you know, when I post on Truly or Facebook or LinkedIn, that it's over 30,000 students that I've had the privilege of training. I take it very seriously. But Jeff said, come up with some things that you think people that are going to be interested in the single-family flipping arena might be interested in, and just talk about it, you know, for 30, 45 minutes. And then if you'd like, we'll open it up for questions, and we'll see what we can help people with. So I'm just going to shotgun. Please sit back, relax, and just listen. You're going to hear all of this again when you come to the class, and or if you're part of our coaching program, Craig and Don, a lot of this stuff, actually Craig and Don were, they have part of my DNA, my mental, intellectual DNA, not physical DNA, because they came through the same program where I was teaching flipping, wholesaling, lease options, and subject twos, and creative financing. They were part of the same company that I was teaching for at the time they came through. And a lot of that information in the back office that they've learned and experienced is there. If you're not a coaching student, you should be. You can't beat it with a stick to have someone who's actually in the field doing the work helping you to achieve the same things. So one of the things I wanted to talk with you about are goals. You guys may think that's a bunch of hoopla because you hear it everywhere you go, but the truth is goals are imperative. And what I have my coaching students doing now is a weekly to-do list. I ask them as their coach to send me on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, preferably on Sunday or first thing Monday morning, but let's do it on Sunday. Anything that you didn't complete last week, forward it in the to-do list or the goals and send to me what you hope to accomplish this week. It's just that simple. We understand that many of you have jobs, but you have to write down what you want to do. Now, a long time ago, I was part of a company. Many of you are going to know what I'm talking about without me naming them, where they said put a picture of a car on your refrigerator, or a picture of your house that you want, a dream item, something you're going to work towards. Well, my goals are 12 and 9 years old. That's my son and my daughter. And, you know, at my age now, there's not a whole lot of stuff that I really want or need. I've traveled, you know, I've done those things. But for you that are just starting in this business, you know, maybe your retirement took a major hit, or you're looking as a newer investor to get involved in real estate. Well, as you start to get trained, you have to write out your goals, even if it's just weekly or every 30 days. Yes, we teach you results and frequency and competency, and we teach you that, you know, the more you build a system, you will get results, but you have to consistently work that system. So the first thing I'm going to say is you need to think about your goals. Even when you're brand new, like many of my students, the goals need to be something to the effect of cover the homework assignments that AC has sent me, to work the business and going in Dave's back office and reviewing whatever it is that you've set out to accomplish. Those are goals. Those are to-do lists, and it's okay to pass them to the next week. The next thing I want to talk with you about are realtors, professional agents / brokers. You're either one or the other, and every state has different rules. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot give enough credit to those that have taken the time and energy to become a professional realtor. They are worth every dollar of their commission that they're going to receive, because you can't afford the one thing that they're offering you on if you buy or if you sell and you allow me to be your agent, buyer's agent, seller's agent, I'm going to get a 2-3% commission. And if you really talk to someone who's a realtor and you break down those fees, they're not making a lot of money, especially when they're dealing with newer investors. But in talking about realtors, they are so valuable for you, but they are not valuable the way you have come up in your mindset to think they are. It's kind of like being stereotyped. All realtors are the same. All realtors, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever that is that's in your mind, let it go. Because I'm going to tell you that realtors can help you find cash buyers. Realtors can help you get the expired listings off the MLS. There are a number of things that a professional realtor can provide you, but let's be real. Let's be real with this. What's in it for them? If they give you a list off the MLS of expired listings, what's in it for them? It's not on the market. You don't have to sign an agreement with them. You're going to market to them, to those individuals that have houses that are no longer on the MLS. What's in it for the realtor? Well, if you get your realtor to pull for you in any market USA, let's just say 0 to 100,000. Some of you in Ohio, Missouri, many of you across the country will find that there are properties out there from 0 to 50,000. I'm going 100,000. I know some of you in California, Connecticut, and other states, you're laughing even now at those price points. But you want to stay in the low income numbers of 0 to wherever a professional landlord is going to own real estate. Think about it. 80, 85, 90% of the properties in a low-income neighborhood are generally owned by investors. What's that have to do with the realtor? Well, if I get a professional realtor on my power team, or when I do, and I say, listen, can you provide me in the Raleigh-Durham area a one-liner of properties that have sold in your jurisdiction, whatever your computer will allow you to have access to, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, whatever, Harnett County, and I want 0 to 75,000. I don't care if it was a $15,000 sale, a $70,000 sale. I don't want to go above 75,000. And as part of that, if your MLS will allow you to also put in there as a variable those properties that sold with no financial contingencies, it was a cash purchase. And a realtor many times can put that into their computer. A matter of 3 to 5 minutes, they'll have that information. Now they're going to give that to you. Now you can backtrack the bulldogs. You can backtrack the investors who have purchased all cash and now market to them that you are an investor too, and on occasion you're going to come across properties that you and your associates are not in favor of fixing to hold or fixing to sell, but instead you're looking to possibly sell your rights to your position in the contract to them. So realtors have a and there are many other ways that we're going to talk about it in this class. And it's not going to be really a scripted class. Dave and Jeff basically said, you know, we're going to give you a book, but we just want you to teach the truth. Whatever is working for you in the market is what we want you to accentuate when you're teaching these people. Yeah, they're going to have a book, but you give it to them from your perspective. That's why I teach for them, because they give me, they trust me enough to do and do right by you. So what's in it for the realtor? I doubt there's a realtor on this line right now that if I said, listen, there's some information that I'm going to need from you about every 30 days. I need this kind of pull. I need this kind of pull. And what I'm looking to do is build my database of those properties that are no longer on the MLS. I'm going to be trying to do a lease option. I'm going to market to them for some creative financing. Those individuals that have purchased these properties for all cash, I understand they're generally going to be investors. I want to tap into them because I need to build a buyer's list. What's in it for you? There are going to be times when I'm spending $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $2,000, $3,000, $6,000, $5,000 a month. Don't get scared. Some of y'all are freaking out right now. Relax. Woosah. It's a matter of what you can afford. So there are going to be times when I'm going to be spending, let's say, $500 a month on direct mail, or I'm going to put up some of those dorky We Buy Houses signs, and I'm definitely going to get the magnetics that go on the side of my car that are just outrageous, that say, We Buy Houses, or sell your house to my family, my family will pay cash. And as I'm doing that and I'm deal-versating, negotiating with people over the phone that are calling me about their property, they're going to owe too much or want too much, and they're not going to be open to my cash offers nor my creative financing. And they don't want to deal with a conventional realtor who's going to ask them to declutter their home. Clean it out. Clean it up. Paint it. They don't have the means to do it. I am going to say to that realtor, you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours. I've spent over $100,000 in my real estate training through the years. It's probably double that by now, but I've spent $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 on my real estate investing. I've hired a coach to help me learn the ropes of what I want to do in real estate. And one of the things they've asked me to do is to team up with someone who can provide me with this information, and in return, when there are individuals that I'm speaking with off my marketing that I just can't help, I am going to refer them to you. I doubt there's any realtor on the line right now that's going to say, especially if they're investor savvy, I would not want that referral. I mean, you are a walking billboard for them, and all they have to do is spend 15 minutes or less per month with providing you at a minimum those two pulls. Every month, send me the expired listings. You're going to put them on a drip campaign. We're going to talk about that. Every month, send me who's bought at $50,000 or less, no financial contingencies. Those are probably going to be investors. You're going to want to market to them on a drip campaign. So that's talking about realtors. The next thing I want to talk with you about is marketing. Marketing for motivated sellers. Now, as you're sitting back in your chair with your rabbit shoes on, in your robe, relaxing, listening to this guy on the phone, he's about to make what he claims to be a profound statement. And that statement is, every person on the internet, every book that you will read, will say, marketing, marketing, marketing is imperative. Without marketing, you have no business. Well, it's my goal for as many people as I have an opportunity to train, not going against anybody, but it's AC's on the phone with you right now, I'm going to debunk that. I'm going to say that's not necessarily true. Think about it. I was on Facebook one day, and I was you know, just perusing through different Facebook wholesale pages, investor pages, just, you know, biding some time. And I came across a young lady's post, it's probably a year ago, and it said, okay, I've marketed and my phone is ringing off the hook. Help. Now what do I do? That's my point. That is my point. I've been teaching it for about 5 years now, where I've been telling people, if or longer, if you do not know what to do with that caller when they call, your marketing does not matter. You are wasting your time. You know, some people will say, well, when they call, you fill out this telephone questionnaire and then you offer to call them back. Okay, but if you snooze, you lose. So when you're marketing, understand, like when I'm coaching people, I tell them, I say, listen, I have a list of things that I want to go through with you, and I'm actually covering it with you in this phone call. And once we get to the 10th piece, you can start marketing. You know, then you have people who have spent $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 going, well, I was told that I can start making money in 30 days. And I will say to them, it's not impossible. I've had students sign up for me as their coach, and within a week or two, pocket $9,000 or so. It happens, but it's not the norm. So what I'm trying to say to you all is, I can dig that you want to start marketing in this business, but without the education to know what you're doing, how to take the information you're going to get from that person, and within 3 to 5 minutes, or a minute and a half, 3 minutes, within 3 minutes or less, strictly off of a telephone questionnaire that Dave has, a data information sheet, you can determine what you're going to do with this person on the phone, sight, S-I-G-H-T, sight unseen. Some of you are going, oh, no, you can't. Listen, I'm the most A personality individual you could ever meet. I'm OCD on steroids. I'm particular not fond of people putting handcuffs on me. So I run from the word fraud. I'm not doing that with you now. Based on the numbers, it's all about the numbers. But you also have to know that if you're going to flip that contract to another investor, what those investors' numbers need to be for you to negotiate with that person on the other end of the phone, so you can determine one of two things. A, am I going to stay in this deal with this person that's on the other end of the phone if I can negotiate it to what I want? Do I have the financial means, if I get it on creative financing, to cover the payments? Do I have the financial means if they give it to me on a lease option and my tenant buyer doesn't perform 3 months and it's a $900 a month payment, can I cover that payment? And if the answer is no, then we want you to put yourself in a position where you can flip that contract to another investor that specializes in lease options. You're a principal in the transaction, you get because you now have it under contract, and you are going to sell that contract to another investor. But unless you know when you start to market We Buy Houses signs, or on Craigslist, or on your local TV station, like WRAL-TV here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, they have a website where people sell, S-E-L-L, people sell cars, houses, everything. My assistant goes in there and she pulls that information and calls those people. Most of the time they're trying to sell it by themselves without a realtor. Why? Why? Because bringing a professional agent into the picture is going to generally require them to have to come out of pocket 6% right off the bat. 5 to 7, 8%. There is no set percentage that realtors will make on this transaction. It is what is negotiated between themselves and their seller and or their buyer. Well, if the property is worth $200 and they owe $190, they're going to try to sell it on their own without a realtor to avoid paying, you know, $15,000, $12,000, whatever that number is going to be, out of pocket. It's going to hurt them. But you're there scraping data, and you're calling them up, introducing yourself. Hi, my name's AC. I saw that you have a property for sale at 123 Main Street there in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Do you have a few minutes so we can talk about the property? Oh, sure. Go ahead. Well, listen, first off, I'm not a realtor. I'm a private investor here in the area that owns a private real estate investment firm. And I work with a group of associates, other investors, to make this business happen. Now, we buy one of two or three ways, all cash. And on an all-cash basis, we're going to need a significant discount. The majority of the people that we talk with, though, owe more than what we would be willing to pay all cash. They owe more, sometimes they want more than what we're willing to pay all cash. The reason why I'm telling you this is to let you know that we also are very creative, and we have the means and the education to share with you what we can do to possibly take this debt off of you. You can go to, after we've talked, you can go to rent, whatever your website is, justownerfinance.com, you know, real estate for sale by owner, whatever your website is. And you can continue to read up on what we're about to talk about. But one of the things, and then you can stop there. And you say, and then you give them exactly what they want. This is huge. Watch this. All of my students will tell you that I focus primarily on this piece right here. The number one fear of our students is communication, talking with someone. How do you talk to them? Because you're embarrassed. What if I screw up? What if I drop the ball? Get over yourself. That's what I'm going to tell you. Get over yourself and know it's going to happen. It happens to all of us. But you got to start somewhere. So pull the trigger and move forward. No need to spend the money that you're spending to get the education if you're not taking action. So let's make it simple for you. Go into Dave's software. Pull out the telephone questionnaire. That's what they expect from you. They expect you to ask them about their property. Give it to them. Why make it difficult? Introduce yourself, who you are. You have to drop the subliminal programming that you work with a group of associates, other investors. You have to subliminally program them right in the middle of the conversation within the first 10 seconds that you may not be the person that they're ultimately going to be dealing with. So what I say, I drop that seed. I work with a group of associates, other investors, to make my business go forward. That lets them know, hey, I'm going to flip my contract to another investor, and it may not be me, but you're doing it mentally rather than outright right verbally because you don't know what you're going to do with the deal. So that's why I say to you that when it comes to marketing, yes, marketing is important. You know, I've ranted in classes, you know, more marketing, you know, then the student has to say more money, little marketing, little money. Mediocre marketing, still a little bit of money, but more marketing, yeah, more money. And that's true once you have the education. And the education allows you to maneuver within the conversation with someone on the other phone, and because you have layers indexed in your brain of if this, kind of like a program, you know, like I know anything about programming, but if this, then that. If not this, then you go here. It's kind of it's a chain of what to do depending upon what the answers are from the owner. Or in our case, I don't ask questions. I just tell the person the truth. I have a telephone questionnaire here that myself, my associates and I, and or any professional real estate agent would need to know about your property. Now, understand the reason I bring in the real estate agent is because I want them to feel comfortable with what they already feel is the right way to go, a realtor. And I bring that in, and I say, you tell me about the house, and if there's anything that I need after you're finished that my associates and I need, I'll just ask you for that information if it's okay. Well, now I've set them up and programmed them to tell me what their mortgage amount is. Most of the time, that's the one thing they don't want to talk about. So, again, I'm tying in the education to the marketing, and I really haven't gotten into a whole lot of the marketing, but to say there's nothing that you're going to read from our training that is not still working. Everything's still working. You know, all you want to do is get your phone to ring. And when once the phone rings, I have our phone number goes to a call center. The call center introduces the company and then asks two questions. Do you have a property for sale? If the answer is no, the call center will say then, do you have a message for someone? Yes, and then they'll leave a message, and it gets emailed out to myself and the people that I work with here. If they say they do have a property, then they'll simply ask, what is the number that you can be reached at, where you can be reached? What is the address of the property? To include the county. Now, what is your email address? That's all I want my call center to ask. And then they are instructed on the computer screen to say, the acquisitions division will be in contact with you within 24 business hours. Now, why would I say 24 business? Because it's the truth. You call me on a Friday, I'm not getting back with you until Monday, and usually Monday. I'm just not with the 12-year-old, 9-year-old swimming, cheerleading, et cetera, that's my world now. Back when I was like many of you, single, I could take those phone calls. It would shoot across my computer, and if I was at my computer and saw it come across, then I could pick up the phone and call the people right away. It's just a matter of choices. So that's my little piece on marketing. Okay, 12:35. All right, I'm going to keep going. The next one is, how do I find those investors that might be interested in moving forward with me in a transaction? Listen to what I say to people on the phone who are owners. I own a private real estate investment firm, and I work with other associates of mine, other investors, to make this business move forward. We go through the conversation about the property, and I'll generally bring my associates or other investors back in and say, now, if we've agreed to which direction we're going on, remember, all I've done is seen the piece of paper in front of me. Yes, you can work the computer, but when I started this business, there was no computer to do what we can do now. I have a Gmail account now from AOL, and I've started to do way more than I used to do with a computer. I can literally look up a property in 5 seconds. But that is nothing to me, because I know that when they give me what they think their property is worth, and then they give me the repairs that are needed, and then they give me their loan amount, with those three pieces of information, I am going to automatically know whether I am looking to go cash with them at a deep discount, or because they owe more than what we would be on a cash basis, I can go creative financing with them. So what does that have to do with finding my buyers? Well, those investors out there before the crash of the economy, before 2008, the majority of the investors out there had to fog a mirror to get a loan. So they would use their cash, buy, and then fix, and then refinance, pull their cash out, and either keep it as a rental or sell it immediately. Well, between 2007, 2008, and 2013, 2014, those who continued to get educated and understood how to put a lease option together or owner financing through, you know, other techniques that are legal, because a lot of those techniques have become illegal in states. But because these investors educated themselves, understanding that the cheese had moved, if you haven't read Who Moved My Cheese, please do so. But the cheese had moved, and if they didn't learn to go another path, their income was going to dry up. So the majority of the investors I started dealing with still were into terms. So if I put a rent-to-own deal together or a lease option together, I could either stay in that transaction and find my own tenant buyer, and that's where the owner allows me to rent the property from them with an option to purchase. Well, then in North Carolina, we can put a tenant buyer. We can sublease to another investor and get option consideration from them. That's not flipping the contract. Flipping the contract is when Jeff Lindahl is one of the investors here in my area that I know loves lease options. And because Jeff is working with Dave and running a coaching program and, you know, helping to modify books and upgrade stuff, he doesn't have time to market and look for the opportunities. But when I get that property under contract, I'm going to shoot that property out to, in my database, I have about 700 people. So it goes out on an email to everyone. And when Jeff sees it, it's basically saying, okay, I'm either looking for an investor to sell the rights to my deal here, and I put the numbers in there, or if you have a tenant buyer, I'd like to do a co-marketing with you and make it legal, make you a principal in the transaction so that you can make some money and I can make some money on this, but I'd like to put a tenant in there. But I still have the opportunity to flip that contract to someone. So finding those people is, you know, I would encourage you all to go to your RIA, but if you go to your RIA and you have a bunch of looky-loos that are there for the tea, the coffee, the cookies, the peanuts, and they're going to tell you all the reasons that they don't want to do this business, don't pass go. Run like hell. Most RIAs have a lot of people in them that wanna, shoulda, coulda, houlda, woulda, and then if they find out that you have invested in yourself, they will say things to you like, "Oh, you spent that kind of money?" Well, I would challenge you at that point, if you have the cojuntas, to look at that person and say, "Well, what about you?" "Oh, no, I've been learning everything just, you know, going through YouTube and do this." "Well, how many deals have you done?" You know, square them up. But don't allow anybody to knock the fact that you've gotten the education. I remember being a deputy sheriff, and when people found out that Raleigh police officer and I had spent like $25,000 to get educated, to start the education process and have a mentor fly in and work with us for 3 or 4 days, you know, if there are any law enforcement officers on the phone, you know what we went through. So don't tell everybody your business. So that's marketing. Let's talk about finding buyers. Finding buyers are going to be your local RIA. Finding buyers are going to be going to your realtor and asking them to provide you with zero to whatever you would consider a price point for purchasers. Like, there comes a point when teachers, new police officers, new firemen, the new couples, let's just say hypothetically that number is 120, 140. So let's go 140. Then what I would ask my realtor, because at 140, I'm now in the working class neighborhoods, the new young couples kind of thing. So if 140 is my number, then I'm going to ask my realtor for 0 to 70. Because think about it. At that price point, the majority of the people, 90% of the people that are buying in that price point are going to be cash buyers who are looking to turn their properties into rentals. And if you can get access to them, then you have something. Jeff, for the record, I'm going to go 3 more minutes. I know you told me to go to 1245, 1230, 1245, and then we can open it up if that's okay with you. Is that okay with you? He's not there. Okay. So I'm going to keep rolling. The next thing I want to talk with you all about is what? Oh, an assignment of contract. Now, I'm speaking in general. I'm no attorney. I'm no accountant, CPA. But what I'm going to say to you is that, to my knowledge, in the majority of the states out there, You don't have to be a realtor to sell your rights to a contract. I've heard there are some laws that have changed in some states, but I'm not an attorney. But anything you can get under contract is assignable to another investor. And, you know, we have a property right now under contract for 27. We have it on Craigslist at 39.9. Yesterday we dropped it to 37, just for the heck of it. So that's a $10,000 assignment fee. So we're selling the rights to that cash deal to another investor. But we also have a young lady who has a contract on a property that we did a joint venture with. And in that joint venture, we became a principal in the transaction. So as a principal in the transaction, she was going to make, she wanted $4,000 down. Well, we have a tenant buyer going to look at it for $10,000 down. That means she'll get her $4,000, but we'll get our $6,000, and we'll put this tenant buyer in the property. She decided to kind of co-wholesale with us, but literally she could have said, look, I'll sell you my rights to this deal for $5,000. What you do with it is up to you. Then we put somebody in it at $10,000. It didn't cost us a dime, and that investor was able to make some money also. So that is the primary thing that we're going to be doing in the class on there in Boston on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. We got up to the point where we're talking about briefly flipping contracts. And as long as you're a principal in the transaction, generally it works. Some of you are thinking about right now, what about REOs? Well, we do REOs also. And the way that we do that is we contract them in the name of an LLC, and then we sell our LLC to our end buyer. That way we've not broken any rules or any laws. Whenever we're dealing with banks, they're going to require, if we buy a property that's an REO and fix it up, we generally are going to buy it in a trust. Now, we're going to buy it in the name of the trust so that it seasons while we're rehabbing it. And then when we have a new buyer step up, they can see that that trust has owned it for 3 to 6 months. Just depends on how much work and time we have to put into it. So there are all types of ways to do this business that will work for all of you. It starts with you writing your goals, building a power team. I could have gone extensively. Let me do this before I let you go or see if they're going to be on the line so we can open it up. Building a power team is as simple as every time you talk to another investor or go to a RIA, a meetup group, whatever, go to the founders, the leaders, you know, whoever's running it, and ask, listen, I've been doing this a few months now, and I'm ready to start building my power team. Would you mind sharing with me who is your title company or your closing attorney? Who does your books? Do you have a CPA? Do you have a realtor? Get your power team built from, if you're at a RIA that has a board, get 3 to 5 of the board members to provide you with who is their power team. And whoever their power team is, you can now call them. And generally you will find that they have already been vetted, so that they understand who you are and what you're about. All right. That's what I have for you today. Jeff, you there? Anybody? Anybody? Going once, going twice. All right, guys. I was asked not to go over about 45 minutes. I have talked and said a whole lot. I hope that it's been some help to you all. Keep it simple, sweetie, as my grandmother used to say. Kiss, keep it simple, sweetie. If it were any more difficult, and it can be difficult at times, and it's definitely not a get-rich-quick way to go about in your business, but get your education, understand the negotiations, and how to maneuver between the different techniques of what you can offer people. And once you've done that, you'll be ready to start to market your business. The goal, two questions. Do I stay in this transaction? or do I have the education to sell the rights to this transaction to another investor? You all, I thank you and appreciate your time. Make it a great week.